In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Live from what can only be described as the worst fucking circus in the universe, we present a wheezing groaning sound, which we believe to be the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. My name is John Rain, and joining me are werewolf Tom Neenan and werepub Paul Litchfield. So, welcome, folks. I'm sure you'd like to know we're at the start of fucking huge shit show. There are acts that are shite and acts that are wank. Some acts are fuck awful and some acts that do stank. Acts of all kinds you can count on mess, from folks that fly to a doctor in distress. There are loads of surprises full of misery at the greatest show in the galaxy.
Hey!
So good.
That's better than anything that happens.
Here we have Rico Ross, aka Frost from Aliens, who invented rap, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get into the show, I wanted to plug once again that we will be at, Tom, Paul and I will be at the London Podcast Festival, King's Place, kingsplace.co.uk, on the 2nd of September at 9:30 p.m. doing a live episode of Wheezing Groaning Sound, where we'll be talking about the three-parter to end all three-parters. I sound like David Ross. Silver Nemesis.
The episode, the story before this one, coincidentally.
Exactly. So,
oh, is it?
This is au courant, as they say.
Wow.
But going back to the episode, why would you be thinking about anything else apart from what's on BBC this evening? Paul, what was on?
Nothing. Everyone was just crying.
Yeah.
everyone on Wednesday the 14th of December in 1988 was crying.
Yeah, I was.
Oh. More so at 7:35, but we'll get there.
Radio Times was blank, like then the credits rolled in silence when Adric died.
Yeah.
It was just like they couldn't do anything.
Jesus Christ. So, BBC One, there was the usual gubbins, blah, 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 but at 10 to 2, you had Going for Gold. Hosted by Henry Kelly. It's the last of the five remaining contestants who are all competing for a holiday of a lifetime in Australia. There you go. There
what,
it is.
What BJ would I like when I get home from this?
Which well-known brand of gin am I obsessed with drinking constantly? Anyway, he's often in a pub right very close to me.
Yes.
Every time I'm in that pub, he's there.
He also did an advert for your local car dealership, didn't he?
Car dealership, yeah. And I've been told that he was there. He's there daily. Obviously, during lockdown, God knows what happened. He was probably in the basement. Sucking on the taps.
He's
but there
in the
you
taps,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, after Going for Gold was Knots Landing. Knots Landing, yes.
Glamour.
This is going to be an amazing episode because it says this. Val's whereabouts are discovered. Yeah, they found
the
Val.
First episode of EastEnders again.
Mm. Yeah, stinks in here. 3 p.m. But you think it stinks in here. Wait till we get onto the fucking episode. 3 p.m. This is brilliant. The cold truth about Christmas. God. Carol's songs and original opinions are all written and performed by Richard Stilgo.
Oh, God. Santa leave the lid off the toothpaste?
I can imagine how that went as well. I'm the last turkey in the shop. Fuddle-a-dum. Shut up, you awful man. No, fuddle-a-dum. Anyway, after the cold truth about Christmas was Across the Roof of the World, a news round special. Yes.
Mm. Oh, this
Roger. Roger. I would have thought it wouldn't have been Roger, but there you go. Mm. Roger goes walkabout in Nepal, trekking through the Himalayan foothills. He meets children and discovers their problems.
Oh, God. They don't have any. He gives them some.
I suspect they're trapped in the Himalayas.
Oh, dear. Jesus Christ. We didn't have any problems, so you turned up, you shit. Anyway, after that, at 5 past 5 was The Watch House, a ghost story, part 2. They don't give a blurb, they just give a little bit of the sample of the dialogue, and it's just this. Anne! Help! Help!
Now, I remember this.
Do you?
Yeah, it was around the time where they used to have, before Neighbours, they'd have, like, drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one, and it was a ghost story because it was coming out for Christmas. I remember it being quite good. Yeah.
Do you remember? Wow. Do you remember? Anne, help! Help!
No.
No. No. Okay. No. Well, that was The Watch House. 7 p.m. 7 p.m. It's your old Terry Wogan with Wogan. A mixture of chat and guests. This week, Terry meets Gary Glitter.
Oh God.
Anyway, there you go. So, once you've washed that taste out of your mouth, here comes the other taste. It's 7:35. It's Doctor Who. It's the greatest show in the galaxy. Oh, part one. Yes, of course there fucking is. Mm. Bellboy and Flower Child escape the psychic circus, pursued by the chief clown. Mm. Yeah, that'll do. That'll do me. Yeah. Perfect.
Sounds like something to do with this government.
No. Bloody government!
I'm tapping my finger like Ian Hislop does with a pen.
Yeah. Well, basically the way Richard Stilgo looks after doing any song into camera, where he's like, I'm amazing.
So basically, on this day, you've got a children's entertainer who turns out to be malevolent, pursuing a child.
Yeah.
And then you've got the greatest show in the galaxy!
yes, sorry, have I got a new Twitter account? I think I know someone who might save your life.
You might just save my life.
Now, after you've literally watched Doctor Who and immediately had to have a shower, like in The Crying Game, like, get this filth off me. At 9:35 was The Visit. Now, I remember watching The Visit. Do you remember The Visit? This might jog your memory.
Go on.
Do you remember... it just says this. Last programme in the series, the boy David is 14 now. Do you remember that?
Oh...
He was a boy from, I think he might be Pakistan or something. He was horribly disfigured with a facial disfigurement.
Yes.
And an English couple adopt him, bring him back to the UK, and he goes through all these surgeries to sort of obviously get his face. It's a really lovely, heartwarming story.
They make him watch The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, don't they?
Yeah. Anyway. Listen to the blurb on this. Last programme in the series, the boy David is 14 now and has 10 operations to rebuild his face. On the brink of manhood, he is now old enough and amusing enough to tell us why he wanted this documentary made. God!
I mean, talking about damning with faint praise.
Yeah.
He's amusing enough.
Amusing enough.
God, that sounds that sounds like an Edinburgh show blurb.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amusing enough. Fucking hell. Meanwhile,
you'll tell us about growing up, being a big man, and why you should. Why it's always a bad idea to fall asleep wearing an eye mask. It's that kind of like awful.
And why he absolutely hates mirrors. Poor boy, stop it. Oh my God.
Yeah, leave him alone.
Leave the fucking boy alone. Let him masturbate and find a woman, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Anyway, on BBC Two, you had History Man. History Man, and it just says this: religious symbolism or Catholic traitor.
Is he the son of the man from the 70s who was Weatherman?
It might be, but it gets even better. Religious symbolism or Catholic traitor. I think this is a genuine typo because it just says Brian McNary takes a loo. So obviously there's a K somewhere at the bottom of the Radio Times that fell off.
Oh my God, is he another Radio Times person? He died mid blurb.
Yes, I think he is.
Is there a gas leak in the offices?
Yeah, I think there might have been. That's why they moved.
Either that or they all had the pork pie in the BBC canteen. Anyway, after History Man was The First Noels. The First Noels. And it just says this: what just was Sir Francis's role in Christmas? I don't know.
Good question.
I don't know. I've never really heard about St. Francis in Christmas, have you? In general?
Of Assisi?
No. They don't bother with the Assisi. I mean, they've already dropped. They've already dropped the K.
He was a very masculine man.
Oh God!
Does CC stand for Christmas Carol? Because in which case it all makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Maybe he just has a stutter. I see.
Oh, fuck all that.
Fair to say, Francis.
Fair. Open all the CCs. What I'm fucking talking about. Anyway,
it's been an odd week.
It's been a really odd bit of history. What's really good is that was only 15 minutes long, thank fuck.
Oh, good.
At 2 p.m. came The Treasures of Lippez.
Ooh.
Yes. Narrated by Joss Ackland.
Oh,
he's got a lovely narration voice.
Oh,
yes,
he has. You see the Yellow Pages adverts?
Oh, hey. Yes. Yeah. Lovely. Get a load of this. This is amazing. You ready? The expedition has climbed 16,000 foot to the city of Lippez.
Yes.
It seemed they may have made a wasted journey.
No.
That's it.
Brilliant.
Do you know how to get to the Treasure of Lippez? You just open up the head on the top of the tube.
Yay! At 4:30 was six English towns. Part three tonight. Jukespeare.
I'm really getting pulled in by that. I don't know about
cool,
you.
Cool, bet you are. And here we go. 5 p.m. was the perfect pickle program. The perfect pickle program.
Lovely.
A program for people who pickle.
My Aww. Fucking lord.
Part six. Last in the
part
series.
Six.
Are you ready? Part six, last in the series, and it just says, do pickles have a future?
Tom, can you do me a favour?
Yeah.
You've got mild connections with telly.
I do.
Could you pitch this
the pickle
as a
program.
New show? Yeah, the pickle programme.
I like the idea of, do pickles have a future? They're the only pickling sort of guarantees of some kind of future.
Sometimes
doesn't it?
Future,
if they don't, then there's been a problem in the pickling process. I would argue there's so much fun with this.
A programme for people who pickle. Part six, do pickles have a future? And that was your wonderful entertainment on BBC One or BBC Two.
BBC Two. Nice.
But why the fuck would you be watching any of that? No.
John, you've already answered that question.
When
I would rather watch any of that.
When you've just watched the greatest show in the galaxy.
Oh, God.
Oh, my word.
Because we start off with the Rapid Ringmaster.
Right. Do you know what? Mm. At that point, I stopped it and I literally had to have 10 minutes by myself on my roof garden. Like I was revisiting childhood trauma. To witness that rap was so upsetting. And afterwards I thought, well, that's probably only going to happen that time. Oh, for fuck's sake, no. It comes back again and again and again. And do you know what? In the spirit of that, listen to this, boys.
Okay.
I'm the Doctor, hip hip hooray. My blue box travels forever and a day. It's called the TARDIS and it's pretty neat. It might just appear on your high street. That's it from me, I must away. Oh no, there's Davros. Oh, I say.
Very good.
That was great, yeah.
Honestly, I felt so upset
the word
when
around.
That happened.
Oh, this is a wheezing, groaning sound. It's got Paul and Tom and John Rain too. It's the only podcast about Doctor Who. I think we've all done one of these, haven't we? We've all written something.
Hi, Paul and Tom. I'm Andrew Cartmell. I wanted to offer you an episode in this series.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were about to start rapping.
I did my rap in the opening.
No, I know you did. But that just that very beginning of him rapping, it made me feel queasy. Like, oh God, this isn't going to go well at all.
But already, this episode is like this story is biting off more than it can chew.
Yeah.
You say that. You say that, but next we see the Doctor juggling. Yeah,
and why is and Ace looks like she's looking for all her clothes?
She's going through
like she's naked in the next room, and we don't know what's happened.
We don't know what's happening. And then she comes out, and she's sort of going through the bags you leave in the doorway of charity shops.
Yeah,
yeah. And she's got her clothes on, and then we cut from there to a box opening.
Oh, yeah.
and a motorbike with horns on it.
Oh, God.
Being driven by Daniel Peacock, brackets, who should know better.
Oh. No, I shouldn't be in this show. No, it's terrible.
As Nord, and he opens up a compartment on his motorbike, and it's got a burger in it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like full of space worms.
And that's supposed to be... and also that's supposed to be cool.
Mm.
Yeah, like, he's a bad boy.
Like the rap is supposed to be cool.
Yeah.
And you're immediately going, this is vile.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
This is vile.
Yeah, unless you're advertising Persil or jeans, I'm not interested, mate.
It's...
but we cut from there because Doctor and Ace get sent a... it's like a junk mail robot.
It's like the, what's it called? The Kablam Man. It's the perverse. It's the Kablam Man. The Kablam Man.
Yeah.
And the doctor isn't like, oh, how did you get in here? He's like,
he's going, oh, I like this. And Ace goes, this is rubbish. And then the doctor, and then the junk mail robot looks at Ace in the way it does and says, well, you're a fucking
chicken.
You're a fucking coward.
Chicken.
She's like, well, fine, I'll go and look at it then. I'm like,
bearing in mind,
that?
When, what's his name? When the bad old, from Pyramids of Mars, old, oh, I can't remember, what's the villain in Pyramids of Mars called? When he appears in the TARDIS, it is like, oh my God, he is the strongest, most powerful villain we've ever encountered.
When anything appears the in the TARDIS against the TARDIS as well, the Doctor immediately is, how the hell has this happened?
Like the Keeper this, of Tracking. Yeah. The Keeper of Tracking Man, yeah.
When
yeah.
this fucking Henry Hoover of advertising appears, the Doctor's like,
Yes, Sutek is terrifying. This is like,
but there's apparently a psychic circus, which no one seems to know what that means. on the planet Seganax. So they're going to go and check it out. Meanwhile, we meet Bellboy and Flower Child, who are running through a quarry of sorts.
Yeah.
And trying to escape. And then he's like going, oh, there's no escape. And she's like, we have to keep trying. And then a hearse turns up.
Yep.
With the chief clown in it.
Yep.
Who is all right. I have to say,
he's doing his best, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then they look up and see some kites, and I'm like, oh, we have God. To keep running.
The fact that they're kites is so awful.
Yeah.
It's so awful.
Oh, God. And then the TARDIS materializes. Paul, thoughts?
That's the best bit.
Yeah. and the Doctor, he comes out and he says, oh, I've heard the natives here are friendly.
Yes.
And then Peggy Mount turns up and says, well, you're both a fucking disgrace. What are you doing here? and she shames the Doctor in his costume, despite the fact she looks like a clown.
Why is Peggy Mount in this, apart from to go, bloody weirdos? Mm.
Yeah.
That is her job.
No, Bumble.
There's no reason for her to be in this at all.
She's walked out of happy families, hasn't she?
It's just... Yeah.
But and she sells fruit.
She offers them a big... Well, it looks like a sort of dragon's bollock or something that she makes.
A dragon's bollock full of macaroni cheese.
Macaroni cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we have to eat it and show face.
You don't have to do that.
No. And then as they're doing that, Nord turns up on his bike and he's got a helmet with bat wings on it. Yeah. And then the Doctor says, can I help you? And he says, do you want me to do something terrible to your face? And I thought, not in this climate, no.
You've already done something terrible. You've already done something terrible to the script, so you might as well.
Yeah.
No, I really like Daniel Peacock. I feel sorry for him here, because if there's any Doctor Who episode he should be in, this ain't it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
But, yeah.
He is the guy from Vicar of Dibley, isn't he?
No, that's his dad.
Yeah.
Is that his dad?
Trevor Peacock.
Yeah.
Trevor Peacock. Because there's two Peacock acting children, aren't there?
There's Daniel and Harry.
Right.
Ray Purchase in Toast of London.
He was. Toast of London.
And at one point, there's Captain Peacock.
Oh, Captain Humphrey.
Oh, God. And do you know what? We're 7 minutes in, and I've written down, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
So then... They walk along a bit more and they meet Captain Cook and Mags. Now, I've written here that Mags' first name should be Jazz. And then Doctor says, do you often come together? And he says, yes. And I thought, that's nice.
Boy.
That's good. Sign you're a good couple.
And what is it with Captain Cook? He's this sort of non-committal
He's supposed to be some sort of he's a hero sort of literature, isn't he? I suppose
space explorer, but he's just like. Went and I saw that, and that was good.
It doesn't really make any sense.
Is there a rule that if Sylvester McCoy appears on stage with a pith helmet, you have no fucking clue what's going on?
Yeah,
that's like the rule.
Yeah, you've already seen a man with wings welded onto a motorcycle helmet. You're about to see a boy appear on a BMX.
This
going, what is going on? And also, I don't care. I just don't care now.
This feels like the aborted brother that lives in the loft of Ghostlight. Because at least with Ghostlight, you've got a chance. In this, what the fuck is going on?
There's like a spooky house, and you go, I get what spooky houses are. Yeah. This is like, it's a circus, but it's sinister, but you don't quite know why or how.
No. But it's never sinister, it's just crap.
Yeah.
It's just
crappy.
This is supposed to be the best circus in the galaxy that used to tour around planets.
Mm-hmm.
It is the be all and end all of entertainment. Yeah. It is dog shit.
This is like one of those Winter Wonderlands comes to town.
And yes.
Lawrence Winnebow in staples some antlers to a dog.
To an Alsatian. Yeah.
And you're this is the BBC equivalent of Blobby World, which they opened. Which we all know what happened there.
Yeah. It's still there. Yeah. It's still there gathering moss.
It's when people can't afford to go to Lapland, so they take their kids to some shit hole in Scotland where there's fake snow down.
Yeah.
And there's a man with
a
grey...
It's the Marble Arch Mound, isn't it?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. It's just...
Except that costs $6 million and this costs £6. A robot attacks them. A robot turns up.
Oh my goodness.
And we've got this whole weird thing where Captain Cook's whole thing, it seems, is just like, oh, a robot, lovely, I'll carry on drinking my tea.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem to have any... he doesn't care about anything. And you're like, okay, is that going to become something? No. Okay, fine. No.
So the
fine.
Robot attacks them. Ace kills it.
Yeah. But the robot's actually quite good.
Yeah, it looks like a bank of tellies with arms.
Yeah. That bit's sort of all right.
But we cut from that to Adrian Mole on his BMX.
Yeah.
He turns up to Peggy Mount and says, I want to go to the psychic circus.
Bloody freaks.
Yeah, and then we cut from there to Flower Child, who's got separated from Bellboy.
Good.
She's been killed by an evil hand owning to whom we don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Bellboy lies down and gives up, and that hearse full of clowns takes him away.
Yeah.
So then we cut back to the Doctor and Ace. They get on a bus.
A shit bus.
Sure, horrible bus, yeah.
Yeah, and a robot ticket collector comes out.
Why?
Saying, tickets, please.
Why?
I don't know.
Why is he on that?
I don't know. He's not scary.
No.
And the Doctor murders him immediately.
It's really easy. Really easy to murder him.
Yeah. And then...
I mean, this isn't even a first draft of script.
No.
This didn't even make it to first draft.
No.
I feel like someone
literally walked into the BBC and said, look, I've just been sick in my lap. Do you want to film it? And they went, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I don't... It's too bitty and... Everything bitty in it is silly.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I'm already annoyed to the point of mania.
Yeah.
And I know I've got
because
three
more. Because
you're
trying to get a handhold on something.
Yeah, you want a handhold of something.
Onto. Yeah.
You need something, and you're not being given any of it. You're just being given these disparate little gobbets of dreadful... Again, we've mentioned it before in several McCoys, this sort of Amdrammy, sixth-formy element to it. This reeks of it again.
Mm.
I mean, it starts with the greatest show in the galaxy, and you're like, oh, God! Anyway, carry on, John. I'm enjoying that you have to go through this.
So meanwhile, Captain Cook and Mags have gone to the circus.
Of course.
And we've also got this psychic lady who works in the reception in a little caravan inside.
Morgana.
So Captain Cook and Mags go in and they watch the first act, which... Oh, no, they see Bellboy, being dragged out.
Yeah.
And being tortured. And Mags does this... Jessica Martin, by the way.
Yeah.
Playing Mags. She does this huge scream and it just made me think maybe that was... her motivation there was someone said to her, remember what it was like being on Copycats. Yeah. she does this huge scream. And then... The Doctor and Ace turn up outside the tent and he says, well, are we going in or aren't we?
And that's
the cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's the cliffhanger. Is a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With no peril.
That's like, do you want some sugar in your coffee. Mm. Also, when Mags does a scream, for some reason, they switch her voice off. And I don't quite understand how that works either.
Yeah.
No.
They switch her voice
off. I couldn't believe that was the... I went back three times. So I was watching it on BritBox. Mm-hmm. I had
three
the DVD.
Times? Mm.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, it's skipping. It's skipping because you don't actually hear what the cliffhanger is.
Yeah.
And I watched three times. And each time I was like, I think that's it. I think it's them going, do you want to go into the circus? Mm. A thing they're obviously going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Ace has now said, I'm not so keen on clowns. And the doctor, like this particular doctor with Ace, is like, oh, is this another one of your childhood traumas that I can force you to confront?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I think it's going to be that, isn't it? Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
Why the fuck? Honestly, if I was a writer on this show and I'm doing a circus in the greatest show of the galaxy, why isn't Still being fired out of a cannon?
Exactly. With no net.
Sperm.
With no net.
That's amazing.
Into a giant egg.
Yeah.
And then a baby falls out of the bottom. Why is that not happened? Why is that happened?
Greatest show in the galaxy.
That would honestly, if I went to a circus and they fired Syl out of a cannon, dressed as a sperm, into an egg, and a baby falls out, I'd be like, this is the greatest show in the galaxy.
Roger, Roger, listen carefully. There's two bumper episodes coming out, but that's just the hors d'oeuvre. There's eight more, Roger. Eight of them. People might hear them, Roger. I'm going to lie low. I think you should too.
Brian and Roger are back. Two brand new episodes and a whole new series wherever you get your podcasts. And see Brian and Roger live at the London Podcast Festival and the Menier Chocolate Factory in a whole new stage show. Check websites for ticket details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The greatest show in the galaxy has a ringmaster that cannot rap.
Well, he does another one now in the second episode.
With two people who juggle a bit and some people who gad about like pricks. And this is the best fucking entertainment there is in the universe.
Don't worry, because the Doctor's got his My First Magic set that he's going to use
later.
Oh,
God.
Well, now we find out the conceit is that Doctor and Ace quickly, they learn that you're expected to perform.
Mm. Yes.
And if you perform badly, you're annihilated.
Right.
But you can't escape because the chief clown is like the headhunter who goes out and finds you. But he's also got kites with eyes.
Oh,
yes!
No!
He's got kites with eyes. And also he puts you in a little jail with the thinnest prison doors.
Which, by the way, every single person he's put in there escapes from.
Escapes from, yeah. Immediately by just going,
the
kites
have 1,000 eyes.
And 1,000 eyes. Have the kites. God is absolutely shite.
Have we stumbled upon our second musical episode?
Of course
we
have.
Yeah. It's quite possible. We've had a song.
Was anyone getting Papa Lazaru things from the chief clown? Is that
100%?
I liked his sort of non sequitur, sort of like flourish with the hand for everything when people were going in and out of things. Like he's attempting to be sort of sinister.
I mean, he's the best thing in this, and
he's the best thing in it. But you don't know why he's like that and his raison d'être, and it's never talked about. So you go, oh, okay, he's just
no. But speaking of someone who watched this when I was 11 years old, he's the only thing I remembered from it. And Adrian Mole, that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's obviously good at what he's doing, and the actor himself was later in EastEnders, didn't he?
He was, yes, in EastEnders.
Mm.
And Family Affairs, maybe just EastEnders. But yeah,
both. Maybe you're right. But
wow,
he's very good. The makeup suits his face very well.
Yes, he got he's got that wonky mouth thing going really nicely. But all the stuff that's supposed to be peril that they've now encountered is play school and silly, and you just go, it just doesn't matter.
Well, this is the point where the I forgot to mention, when Doctor and Ace were coming up to the tent, they found the pendant type thing that Flower Child was holding, which is like a gold thing.
Which Ace immediately just goes, I'm having that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the chief clown notices that she's got it and asks her where she got it from, so she runs off.
Yeah.
And then the Doctor and Ace split up at this point.
Because it becomes clearer later on that the chief clown must have that bus ticket inspector fixed and back on the bus. He's a vital component in their nefarious fucking scheme. What are you talking about?
Lost.
I'm so lost. But
it's because just maddeningly nonsensical.
Isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, and then get what does the so the ticket inspector then takes you to the circus? Is that what they're trying
maybe
to?
Maybe.
But everyone is willingly going to the circus anyway. They're turning up on that teleport, like, yay, the circus. Yeah, so the bus conductor thing kills you, so you don't go to the circus anyway. What? It makes no fucking sense.
Well, don't worry, because Ace bumps into Bellboy here, who makes...
She does, yeah.
Who explains what's going on in a way that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because he can't remember anything, because his mind's been wiped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Convenient.
He says to Ace that he remembers that there were more people at the circus.
Yeah.
So Ace frees him, and they go and hide in a caravan.
Ugh.
Yeah. And she tries to help him recover his memory, and it's real Amdram shit.
Yeah, it's so awful.
It's really bad. So the Doctor, meanwhile, has joined up with Cook and Mags.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they find out that they have to perform at the circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, as they're milling around in this jail cell, Deadbeat, who is Eric from Lovejoy.
Eric from Lovejoy.
He turns up at the bars and it's kind of like... And then Nord, who's also in the jail cell...
Yeah. Goes,
they say to him, you're on next. And he's like, I'll go on. And he does weightlifting, which is his thing.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
And then they say to him, they say to him, tell us some jokes.
And he can.
Yeah.
He goes, I was on my way here tonight. I saw Michael Grade, and then he gets zapped.
And then we get this is the only point where we get a slight indication of something, because we get to see the audience, which are these sort of
1940s
family.
Three people.
Yeah.
For some fucking inexplicable reason that also makes no sense.
No sense. A mother and father and a child, and they hold up scores at the end, like on Strictly.
Zero.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nord gets three goose eggs, so he gets executed. And then meanwhile, Adrian Mole turns up on his BMX and says, is this the psychic circus? I'm so excited, I've always wanted to be here.
Piggyback goes, weirdos!
Mm. But he gets put into the jail. So then
now, I've heard a rumour, and I'm not sure if this is true.
Go on.
Obviously, WizKid is meant to be sort of a parody of Doctor Who fans, isn't
fans,
he? Yeah, he looks like me, so I get that. But I read somewhere that he, I don't know if this is true, that he was based on Chris Chibnall. Now, I don't know if that's true, I don't know if that's libelous.
Ooh,
but
based on when he did that TV show where he slagged off Doctor Who.
Yes, yeah.
Well,
so I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just throwing that in the mix as a potential.
It would make sense, because he did look a bit like that.
Yeah, he did not look dissimilar to that lad, yeah.
No. So Ace is hiding from the chief clown, but gets caught because she knocks over some kites.
Goddamn kites.
Some kites. I mean,
And the Doctor's juggling Skittles at this point.
Why?
And they use them as weapons to knock out the clowns that are guarding them. But as he knocks them out, he says, join the club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Ace...
They're plastic Skittles hitting a robot made of solid metal. It should do nothing. The robot should just literally sever his fucking head off and dropkick it down the fucking tent.
That was anyway, like... So Ace gets put into a caravan full of robot clowns. And she's like, you know, I don't like clowns. And they're all kind of jittering.
This is
and,
the only slightly spooky bit in the whole thing is in
when
the
they
caravan.
All start, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's genuinely... that's not very nice. But that's your lot.
So the Mags and the Doctor escape. They go around the circus to sort of find out what's going on, and they find a well.
They find a well.
Oh, yeah.
With a glowing energy source at the bottom, with an eye symbol.
This is the worst bit. They have to drop... The doctor decides to drop one of his juggling batons into it. They can't even be asked to just film him dropping a baton. They have to CGI baton spinning out of his hand like he fucking shot it out of a cannon.
Oh my god. It's very nightmare, isn't it?
Very nightmare. Yes. Yeah.
You're in a courtyard. Yes. There's someone swinging a sword.
Go left. No, 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 not right. Left. Oh.
Don't go right. You'll go into the plot. Go left. Go left. Yeah.
Which God, it's the same so eye awful. Symbol. It's the same eye symbol, though. That's on all the kites.
Yes.
Meh.
Meh.
And then Cook corners them with several clowns, and he says, "You, the doctor, you are next to perform. Cliffhanger."
Whoa.
So Cook then just what? So Cook what? Was in prison, knowing that he and just talked to the robots and went, "I'll get the doctor to go next, and you'll free me." Sure. And the robots went, "Yeah."
What we're trying to say with Cook, to give the writer some credit, which he doesn't.
Survival of the fittest, Doctor. Survival of the fittest. I'm going to say it 900 times in this episode. Survival of the fittest, Doctor.
Cook is a coward who will always try and put people before him so he doesn't have to entertain.
Because
let's be honest, his act is probably a willycopter.
I reckon he does an impression of an Indian elephant, and we all know where that goes.
And a plum tree. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a telling bit of writing here because he had the plum tree.
He does it. She puts the lotion in the basket routine.
You don't want to see what he does with the ping pong balls.
Mind you, he gets 3 9s for that, and he survives.
Yeah.
He gets one in the dad's mouth, and then he's a monoid. But then
I'm getting delirious.
The family who are watching, one of them says, "We're all..." The kid says, "I'm bored," and the dad goes, "We're all bored. Something has to happen soon." And I thought, that's kind of telling. The doctor escapes. And then he bumps into Deadbeat. Who's got a medallion with the same eye symbol on it?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So then he and Deadbeat go to the caravan that Ace is in, who's been joined by Bellboy.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Ace helps Bellboy restore his memories.
Sure.
And he says that in the past, Deadbeat, then known as the Kingpin, was the owner of the psychic circus.
Yeah.
And he'd come to Segonax in search of great power.
Yeah.
And in finding it, the power drove him mad and caused him to enslave the rest of the circus to that power.
But that's not true either.
No, not true.
No.
That didn't actually happen.
No.
So...
And it's a circus that relies on, I'm guessing, fresh people turning up every day based on its reputation of being the best circus in the world, even though it's people who've never performed before performing in front of three people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Because there are posters in the foyer of all the planets that this circus has visited, which obviously back in its heyday, it's supposed to be amazing. But because of obviously budget constraints or whatever, it's just not. There's nothing in it that you go, wow. It's just four clowns and two people juggling.
There's nothing to suggest.
And a ringmaster with a plastic whip that cannot rap. It's just... What is going... This is the worst thing ever.
Terrible.
There is nothing about this circus that makes you think anyone would want to go and see it.
So who are these... These people turn up of their own free will. They teleport there, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
And go, can't wait to see this. There's not a lot of people going there, is there, on average? There's about five that go.
Yeah.
A day.
I mean, it's basically GB News. It's a small audience watching shit that isn't very well done.
God.
I mean, in the prequel to this, Andrew Neil was one of the performers, but he left. Alistair Stewart left because he brought a horse and he fell off it and he had to retire.
Well, Alistair Stewart was a ringmaster and he tried rapping, but it just didn't take.
He wrapped some presents for the idiot.
How do you do? I've got some wonderful circus for you. What do you mean I cannot fucking rap? Shut your face, you stupid chap!
I'd like to rap longer because my rap is thriving, but I've just been arrested for drink driving.
hope I don't end up in Traction, because I used to present Police Camera Action.
That's Andrew, that's Alistair Stewart done, tick.
Okay. There you go, done and done.
So the chief clown finds...
Hang on. My brother is a little bit of a rascal. By the way, I do the ITV game show King of the Castle. Now we're done.
I haven't got much of more of this rap to go, but do watch my brother on ITV Go. No. I'd confuse him with... David
Fuck
Suchet.
A mole.
So the chief clown locates them in the caravan, and Bellboy, because he feels responsible for Flower Child's death, and he'd been forced to construct the robotic bus conductor, sacrifices himself so Dr. and Ace can escape. He gets killed by his own, by loads of clowns, basically.
Yeah. But we don't see that.
No. So the Dr. and Ace locate Deadbeat and take him to the well. Kingpin is his name. And Captain Cook, meanwhile, is in his jail with Adrian Mole, and he says to Adrian Mole, "Why don't you go on first?
Yeah,
because I've seen you on Get Fresh, and you were clearly brilliant." And Adrian Mole's going like, "Yeah, I'm going to go out," and he gets murdered immediately.
Immediately,
probably for the best.
Yeah,
He got out.
So the doctor recognizing Deadbeat's medallion, but when he's passed out, they notice that it's missing a piece. And he says, I saw that on the bus where the conductor was.
Yeah, because that would be the best place for them to keep that other piece, wouldn't it? Would be on the bus.
On the bus. On the buses. Mm. Yeah, Blake is there. Oh, Deadbeat.
I'll get you, Bellboy.
I'll get you, Bellboy.
I hate you, Flower Child, I hate you.
The doctor says, look, you two go and get it. I'll cover for you. So he goes on. He goes on and he says, I'm the main event. It's before that. In the main tent, Cook says the doctor, he and Mags are up next. So they go on. And then the Captain Cook says, oh, and to aid our performance, here is some moonlight.
Oh, no.
And Mags turns into a werewolf hedgehog thing.
What? But it's not... if she... if she was a werewolf, it would be the actual physical moon appearing that would make her change, not a light that
looks in the shape of the moon.
In the shape of the
which
moon,
they put a bit of cardboard over it to make it look like the moon.
Well, that's
a crescent moon. You could argue that every light's the moon.
Yeah.
Particularly a spotlight. Yeah.
If it's a crescent moon, she'd be like, fuck you, I've got ages until I turn.
Yeah.
It makes it fucking no sense at all.
To quote Paul, it makes not even a slim scintilla of shit.
Thank you. So she turns into a sort of werewolf, but it's like half werewolf, half iguana guinea pig thing.
She looks like Sonic the Werewolf.
Yeah.
The makeup job is quite good with the teeth and the talons. Bad. That's quite good.
Yeah.
And the menacing aspect of her. But when we cut to the next episode, she is a redundant threat. She just goes around going,
yeah, if someone turns into a werewolf, they should be like about to tear someone apart.
Yeah, but she can't do that. She just wanders around going,
also, if someone says to me, I want Jessica Martin to transform into something, I'd say, I want it to be Peggy from Heidi High, because she's great at being Peggy. I sing Copycats.
Yeah. And then the family give her 999, and you'll be like, that's not Alistair Stewart, that's Michael Burke.
No,
Michael Burke.
Yeah.
This woman was at a circus.
She thought it was just an ordinary day.
This woman hasn't entertained anyone in 4 weeks.
And yes, no one watched Copycats.
Yeah.
Although it did launch the career of Bobby Davro. So she chases the doctor around for a bit. He comes face to face with that family trying to hide, and they all glow green eyes at him, so he falls. He does a McCoy pratfall down the stairs.
He does.
And
he
a also, lot of arse, doesn't it?
A lot of arse.
Massive amount of arse, but not as much as we'll see a bit later when he's doing his escapology act, which is amazing. If you're talking about a full moon, that's when Mag should fucking turn.
Turns into a whale for the sight of McCoy's arse.
Turns into a were-arse. Yeah, also, McCoy does like a Tarzan swing across the entire
yes,
circus.
He does.
Which A, we know obviously is only about 8 foot, the ring. Yeah. It's so small.
It's tiny.
It's the greatest show in the galaxy. It's not.
This was filmed at the BBC stationery cupboard.
Oh, yeah. God.
So when he swings across, they had to go outside.
Yes, that's true. Right. It was the asbestos.
Yeah,
all the linking stuff in the tunnels, which are all just under the canopies, that was all done in the BBC car park.
Mm. Jeez,
because they found asbestos in the studios, so they had to leave it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fucking hell! I would stay.
Hey, I tell
so
you
bearing
what.
Bearing in mind, when you're listening to us do Silver Nemesis, all of that was being filmed in asbestos-ridden studios.
Tell you what, they found asbestos. Didn't find Savile, did they? So. Mags.
Someone's got to say it.
Yep, I think so. I'm pleased it was me. Mags then murders Cook.
Well, yeah, sort of.
But the family, you say they give a 999.
Yeah, they're entertained by the violence, aren't they? By the violence.
The sort
you
of
see.
Commentary you see on the television of 1988. Yeah.
Why they're a 1940s based sort of like evacuee war family, we don't. That's unclear. Ever bothered to be explained.
I mean, if anything, they should have been in the Time Monster with the doodle bug.
Yeah.
They were flying.
If anything, to be honest, they should have been what they fucking are throughout the whole thing, and that would have been made much more fucking sense than this guise they have to take.
Yes, but meanwhile, you know something's up with them.
Yeah. Why decide? Yeah, we'll pretend to be like a 1940s family from Earth. Mm.
But then it turns out they're stone elephants, and you're like,
hold your horses, guys. We haven't got to that exciting reveal yet.
No, we haven't.
Because the Doctor and Mags escape in the confusion, and with no other entertainment, the family orders the Ringmaster and Morgana to perform. But they're shit. Morgana's like, I know some jokes about Jews, and...
So there's two Pakistanis getting in a full cartoon. And basically, don't they get put into wicker hampers and then sort of they disappear? Okay.
While we're on the bad entertainers, Andrew O'Neill, a friend of the show, posted a link to a stand-up to us of Chubby, I can't remember, was it Chubby Walden? Or one of the guys who plays the police officer in Planet of the Spiders. And it's heinous. Yeah. It's so awful.
God. I watched it. It was very bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But
we will definitely have to get when we do some specials with guests. We'll definitely have to get Andrew on.
Yes,
definitely, 100%.
He definitely knows his onions.
Yeah,
and also he's entirely covered in Doctor Who, which is what I really love about him.
Yeah.
If you meet Andrew, he's like, oh my god, you've got all of Doctor Who on your body. It's amazing.
Well, I'd rather watch Chubby's act than this.
Yes, that is how awful it is.
I think he would have got 999 as well, to be honest.
Well, after performing for an hour, I think they had to call 999. Yeah, man, right.
Hey! Well, he was a policeman, Tom.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is so telling whenever we do wheezing groanings, because normally I've got an A4 pad, and it's normally one side of A4 notes for every episode.
I should point out that Paul writes all his notes down.
This one, all four episodes are on one page.
Okay.
Because it's hard to know what to talk about. I mean, you're doing you're doing a valiant job.
Thank you. Oh my god, you are.
Aw, thanks, guys. Come and see us live.
Yes, Keep going, son.
Well, we should point out on air that when we do the show on the 2nd of September, if it happens, which it probably will, it'll be the first time we've been in a room since. Probably like last March.
Yeah.
So Attack of the Sidemen, did you say, was our last in-person
story? Attack of the
Sidemen
was the last
story.
In-person one, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Can't wait. I'm going to get so giddy. You think my laugh is annoying on regular episodes? It's going to go into Mega Drive on
Tom's
the
laugh is not annoying, and anyone who thinks it is a prick.
Thank you. Thank you. See, that's kind of camaraderie you can look forward to.
We love Tom.
Yeah. Crowley.
Yeah. Sorry, I was talking about him. What were you talking about?
I always assume Baker, so I have no idea.
I'm drunk.
Anyway, come on, John, back to the red hot fucking action.
Yeah, we want to know what's happening. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Sorry, I'm just cooling down from the last note.
We need all this, John. If you can tie all this up in a nice neat bow, so we know exactly what happened.
I'm going to do it. Yeah. Gonna do it. So the ringmaster.
All we know here is a gunshot.
This is what Bud Dwyer did. Yeah. Ace and Deadbeat go back to the bus. And
of course they fucking do.
They get a medallion piece, and Deadbeat at this point's a bit like, oh, I don't know what fucking shoes are. Ooh.
Yeah.
She hands him the pieces, and then she gets attacked by another ticket collector, or the same one.
No, it's the same one. He's been repaired.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Who
gives by Bellboy.
No one gives a fuck.
No.
He looks like he's got a big fat head. Looks a bit like Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that here. But Ace
again,
being...
why did they insist that they fix the fucking robot and put him back on the bus? What is the point of him being there?
There's no point.
Because he's thank you. Immediately again.
Yes. By just touching his head.
Oh. Yeah.
That's all you're going to do is touch his head.
We should have pointed out earlier, by the way, is that the doctor killed him by looking at his ticket machine and then pointing it towards him.
Yeah.
Not the greatest robot in the world, is he?
No. Has the doctor done Smooth Criminal yet?
not yet. No.
Okay.
No, I know you're busting to get there. There's just a bit of journey to go. Sorry, I lost my mind. Yeah, so Ace is being basically throttled by a robot.
Brilliant.
And Eric from Lovejoy is like, oh, I'll put this in here. He's a bit like, I've been drinking my apple juice of the apple all day and I don't know what to do.
What's going on?
He puts the bits together and he's like, I know who I am.
I know who I am. I no longer have to read those strange newspapers in the toilet with no text on. And when I doth put them under my undercarriage, I get brown headlines. Carry on. Oh, God.
Anyway.
basically goes, bash the top of the bastard's head.
Yeah. I love that Blood Axe is always out there.
Yeah.
He's always ready to come back in and help us.
Definitely.
So, the ticket collector, let's cut a long story short.
You know, tickets, please. Tickets,
TLDR,
please.
He's dead.
Tickets, please.
Yeah.
And, I've lost where I am in the notes. So they get the medallion piece, and Dead Pete gets his kingpin personality back. Meanwhile, the Doctor has determined that the family are actually the gods of Ragnarok, or as he says, he gets about 15 tongue rolls.
It's amazing, isn't it? Ragnarok.
Yeah.
He even says that he's faced them before, and you're like, thank fuck, we never saw that.
Yeah.
He says they feed on entertainment. They're like, fucking hell.
They feed on entertainment. Just fucking stick them on planet Earth and put a fucking telly in front of them.
If they feed on entertainment, I expect Michael Burke, yes, we're going to talk about him again, to come back in and say, just £5 a month will help these guys of Ragnarok who are stuck at the greatest show in the galaxy. And fucking, what's his face? You know, the Irish fella did Live Aid. Bob Geldof.
Bob Geldof.
Give the cult of Ragnarok your money now. They haven't had an entertainment for at least 3 episodes.
They're fucking starving. They're so bored.
It's 1988. They can fucking stick him in front of a massive fat television with a really massive back. And they can watch Babe Station all fucking day.
Gary Glitter was on before this. At least
they
hits.
Can watch a midget on a trampoline doing the fucking weather.
I mean, the doctor just said, lads, give it a week. Ike's going to be on Wogan.
Yeah.
Or George Best.
Oh, yeah.
I like screwing Terry.
Just plug the fucking family into CFAX. It's fine.
But no, he doesn't do that. He just says he's going to entertain them himself.
Oh, yeah. God.
First he does Smooth Criminal, as Tom pointed out. Then he does...
As long as he doesn't continue with Michael Jackson's career, that was.
He fires Adric out of his urethra. Now I know what it's like to travel through urethra.
Fucks a chimpanzee and molests fucking bellboy. Dangles a child off a balcony. Has loads of reconstructive surgery.
Yeah. I know where you're going with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does all sorts. He was trained by the great Soprendo, Victoria Wood's husband.
Yep.
Yes, that is true. No, that is true, isn't it? Yeah. Sylvester got all his tricks from the great Soprendo. Yeah.
Well, that's the annoying thing is Sylvester McCoy is a really good circus performer, and they give him like really easy like tricks to do, and mm-hmm. you're like, he can hammer a nail into his head if he wanted to. That's the stuff he used to do.
I suppose they didn't want kids to copy him.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
The problem is he starts off so well with the Smooth Criminal bit.
Mm.
Yeah. You're like, oh, that's but that's genuinely cool. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to just do End of the Pier, utter drivel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Flags of All just Nations out of his dribble. Cock is pretty good.
When he pulls Sill out of his arsehole instead of a dove.
That's just a poo that he's painted to look like.
Yeah, that's, it's all smoke and mirrors, John. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what he's been eating.
You need the mirrors so you can,
Smoke shouldn't come out. It's like that old joke, do you smoke after making love? Yes, I do. Well, maybe you should slow down.
Hey!
Yeah, so he does all this, and he instructs Ace and Kingpin to throw Kingpin's medallion. He performs for the gods of Ragnarok.
So as a distraction.
Ace and Kingpin complete the task just as the Doctor is about to be obliterated, because even they've had a fucking enough of this. They're asking, when is Little and Large on? I miss Leopardy like Dog.
I quite a lot watch Moore and Butch Stanziger on Channel 4.
Where is Richard Stilgo?
When is the word coming on? I hear a man eats his pubes on a cracker.
Please take with you our delegate Hufty. So Captain Cook tries to stop this all happening, but then he falls down a well chatting shit as he owes. And the Doctor, knowing everything's all right, he walks out the main tent as it explodes.
Chatting shit as he goes.
He does. He's like, this reminds me of the time I was on Zaga 7.
But hang on. Before the Doctor walks out and the tent blows up, the Doctor knows somehow that Ace will return with whoever to throw the medallion that then he then suddenly tosses a bit of metal and gets like King Arthur's sword for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah. There's that.
Because it was from a gladiator that performed
there. A gladiator that performed there before and then uses that tiny little eye medallion to repel the laser beams from the.
Yeah, it was Wolf.
Oh my god.
Not Shadow, who was sacked for being on steroids.
Being on steroids. Yeah. And then got arrested for having loads of crack in his house.
Oh no.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
Oh god.
Wasn't him.
No, it wasn't him. God. It was Jet.
It was
now,
Jet.
Looking for positives, when sorry. When Sylv leaves the tent and it explodes, it's awesome. It's a proper Heroes Don't Look at Explosions moment, isn't it? It's
that's
very cool.
A very beautifully timed explosion, is it? Because he's just on the sort of buffeting end of it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As he nonchalantly walks out.
All that's missing is a shot from the rear, which would be very typical for McCoy, of him with his trousers burnt away and then just like his bare bum.
Yeah, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, him running up his arsehole on fire would have been just perfect.
Perfect, because then you could zoom in, Sil could pop out and go, that's all, folks.
Be like the end of Bonanza.
Yeah.
The problem is, well, Oh my God. Wrap it up, John, for the love of fuck. I mean, what happened? What did you
do? Let's just pop a full stop here. The Doctor regroups with Ace, Mags and Kingpin. Kingpin and Mags decide they're going to reclaim the circus and take it to a new planet. Why the fuck would you carry on with this circus?
You would think that, the last thing he would want to do would fucking carry on. He would be on that teleporter. Just, I'll do anything. I'll work in Clark's shoe shop fucking Grimsby.
Can you imagine that the greatest show in the galaxy is back and you go in there and it's just going to be like Kingpin wanking. That's all I've got. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is it OnlyFans or like Chatterbait, one of those sites became? That was the greatest show in the galaxy.
It's Kingpin in a tent wanking. Live on the web.
Yeah.
And the Doctor and Ace say goodbye, and that is the end.
And the Doctor says something like, So I find circuses sinister.
Yeah, okay.
When are you getting cancelled?
Next week.
What was the episode after this one then?
But we have done the next one, I think.
We have covered it.
I think it's Battlefield.
We haven't done Battlefield.
We haven't done it then, but I think it's Battlefield.
Yeah, you're right.
Battlefield.
It's Battlefield.
We haven't done Battlefield yet.
No, we've not done it. I thought we had.
Yeah.
But we'll save that for
when we're dead.
When we're dead.
Boom. Yeah. We'll save that when
Yeah, when the world ends.
Yeah.
we all need another Minotaur.
Here's the thing. I think that Sylvester and Ace are one of the best Doctor companion duos.
Yeah.
Yet I think every time we come to do a wheezing groaning on a Sylvester and Ace story, it somehow ends up being like awful when we rewatch it.
There's not awful. Much evidence to support this theory.
Once you take
Curse of Fenric out of the equation, really fucking hard.
Thing is, I would agree with you. I would say Sylvan Ace are a brilliant double act, and then I think that Lala Ward and Tom Baker had City of Death.
Yeah.
Whereas Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred, Curse of Fenric, is that it?
Yes, I think it is. I think that's a lot.
Yeah.
Did we enjoy Remembrance or did we not enjoy Remembrance?
I think we
enjoyed bits of.
Bits of. Well, maybe it'll be Silver Nemesis. Maybe that's what will be.
I think I can confidently predict right now the Silver Nemesis will be the one. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Look, we are sidestepping it as much as we can. We got to score this fucker.
So what are we going to score it out of?
Oh, God.
Kites?
I mean,
eye kites? Or
this is the first time I've wanted to score Doctor Who not out of what happened in it, but how I felt. Can we score it out of 100 out of self-harming? No, we can't.
I'm going to score it out of bad rap.
Bad rap.
Yeah, because this show has a bad rap.
We've given it a bad rap.
Yeah,
and it's got bad rap in it.
So well, I shall go first. I will
please
say...
Do.
This is fucking abysmal. This is embarrassing. Everything that happens in it is bad.
Yeah.
The only thing that saves it in my mind is Chief Clown.
Right. Yeah.
Who is good to look at in a kind of villainous way. He's a bit Jokerish, I mean. Because clearly what he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And the explosion at the end is fun.
Yes.
But those two things aside... It's an embarrassment. It's up there with Paradise Towers, the Happiness Patrol for me. So I have to score it accordingly. Now, those two things...
I was going to say, hang on, John, before you have scored something before zero.
I've gone minus before.
Oh, you've gone minus, right.
So, with these two things in mind, I'm giving it two.
Okay, two.
So, who's next? Is it Tom?
Fuck it. Yeah, it's Tom. Fucking hell, John, you loved it.
I am the sort of the wet one of the podcast who wants to sort of be positive about all of Doctor Who.
Yes, I think there
that is what the role I've decided to be. Mm-hmm. And I think there is I think they deliver on some things like the scary clown and the robot doesn't look bad. And I don't think I wasn't sure what was going on. That is the problem with this. You're just not. It's unclear, and a lot of mysteries. That even when you find out what the mysteries mean, you're not. I don't know who the gods of Ragnarok are. I've never met them before, so it doesn't really mean anything. But it's still there's still fun bits, and like Sylvester doing a bit of like clowning is quite fun. I to sort of help it out. I'm gonna up it a bit. I'm gonna give it 28.
Blimey. Okay.
Why am I really angry about 28? 28.
I'm shocked.
I mean, just when I thought that I was always juggling between Paradise Towers and Happiness Patrol being the worst things I've ever seen, then I watched The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, and I would watch Paradise Towers and... Happiness Patrol on a fucking loop for eternity. Then sit through that one again.
Yeah.
It is abysmal from start to finish.
Yeah.
It has no through line. The threat is not a threat. It's not explained. When it is explained, it's pathetic. The way it's dealt with is via B. being fucking pathetic. There are three things I liked in it. The TARDIS appears, perfect for me. I like a materialisation. Quite like when Ace is with the, alone in the robots in the caravan, because that's very spooky. And I like it when the Doctor exits the tent and nearly has his ass blown off. Mm. So there are three reasons why I like it, so it gets three. And it's fucking lucky to get it, because it took me so long to watch these four episodes. I texted you both earlier today going, please, please, can I just not watch the fourth episode? I'd rather just cry.
Well, that's the score. It's 33 for the greatest show in the galaxy.
Yay!
I should point out, I've just looked at a calendar, and this episode will go out the day after we do our September the 2nd show, so...
Oh, well, don't bother coming then.
Yeah, don't bother coming. You've missed it if you weren't there.
Yeah, yes. You missed it, you shit.
I hope you enjoyed
and
it.
And I apologise for all of the foul language and yeah, all the stuff that went on in the Silver Nemesis analysis.
Mm. And that, how drunk I was. Sorry, I want to...
Is 33 one of our lowest?
No.
No.
I mean, I realise I'm dragging it up there. I want to give it some, you know...
I don't understand
chaos.
Why you have. You're like one of those blokes that got done at Nuremberg, you are.
You're one of those blokes that you three had a look at and you just fucking got away with it.
You're a clown sympathiser.
Davidson-dom. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, clever bugger. Anyway, there must be correspondence.
There is correspondence. Yeah. Andy Elliott says, greatest show is the Snyder Cut of Tegan's Cheese Dreams and Kinder. Creeped me out as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Creeped me out as a kid when it was first broadcast, not because of the clowns, but because I thought Mags was a big hedgehog. Like, and like Dinsdale, it haunted my dreams.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay, there's that one. Mm. hang on. Becky says, the greatest show in the galaxy is one of my favourites. Oh, God. And I'm quite optimistic that you'll get through this one without needing to sedate Paul.
I mean...
Greg Newport says, I can see it now in my man's eye. McCoy's ass burned out, hanging out after the exploding tent burned the back of his trousers clean off. We mentioned that. So
we did. I'm sorry, I genuinely hadn't seen that tweet. That was
we were ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah.
Nick Burton says, greatest show, the one with Adrian Mole being a Doctor Who fan filmed in a tent. Ian Reddington is perfectly creepy as an interesting story with some great visual effects.
No.
And as a bonus, gave us the best Who Hello mashup pictures. Yes.
Yeah.
This is the one where they all met because of the asbestos.
That is true. That is nice.
Ah. Tim Coleman says, greatest show, him off Lovejoy, her off Bobby Davro, him off Adrian Mole, her off 50s British films, him off Aliens, her off Melvin and Maureen, him off Straw Dogs in the BBC car park with evil kites and puff magic. The result is like a clown's shoe, colourful, fun, but too long.
Very good.
Yeah, I like that. It's good pricey.
Yeah.
Hang on. Chris Williams, greatest show. The brilliant cast makes this story, although we could do with a bit more Peggy Mount and Daniel Peacock. Location work looks great thanks to the blazing sun. Story-wise, it's just about the right amount of surreal without being impenetrable like Ghostlight. No. When performing at the end, thank God the Doctor gets the medallion in time before Sylvester starts doing the balloon dance. Finally, a shout-out for the final appearance of the console room set in the classic series.
The console room, which is looking tatty as all hell, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
It's like Steptoe and Son's living room.
Stuffed bear in the background.
Michael Fiore says, the greatest show in the galaxy, Ian Reddington does one of the greatest creepy clowns of all time. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And Rico Ross brings rap music to the Who universe with flows written by a well-meaning English language teacher. Hang on. Ben Thomas, he won't disappoint. The greatest show in the galaxy, one of my favourite stories. Oh, Ben. Paul and John are going to fucking loathe it, so I might listen to a relaxation tape of tropical beach sounds and birdsong instead. In part four, when McCoy exits the tent as it explodes behind him, the FX guys overdid the pyrotechnics and the heat blast set fire to the back of his costume. McCoy didn't flinch as A, he knew there couldn't be a retake, and B, he's a fucking legend.
He's an absolute legend.
Good thing the same thing never happened to Colin, as he'd have gone up like a fire on a tallow processing plant. That's mean.
Ben doesn't like Colin Baker.
No, we love Colin Baker here.
We love Colin Baker here.
Yeah. We do.
He's loved in this parish. Colour Horizon 2 says, greatest show in which McCoy encounters his most dangerous enemy in T.P. McKenna, a better actor.
Oh,
that's Captain Cook. I don't think so.
No.
I mean, he's good, but he doesn't have anything to do in this.
No, he's not.
Darren McKay says, oh Jesus, that fucking whiz kid, way to alienate most of your remaining audience.
Yeah.
Points to McCoy for managing to set a world record for most R's used in a single word with Ragnarok. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
It's just occurred to me as well that it's an army man talking about survival of the fittest while the Doctor and Ace make their way across a blazing hot planet.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just survival. Survival went on to be.
Yeah.
Strange.
Well, survival, where they say survival of the fittest 487 times.
Yeah.
And that is it for correspondence, and that is it for the greatest show in the galaxy, which many people would call this podcast. Not me, I'm humble. because it's the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. So, you know.
It is, yes, sadly. Sadly.
And then Toby Headoak, he's listening and he's enjoying our swears.
Oh, bless him.
Thanks, Toby.
Thank you. He gave us a nice recommendation as well. He's been great.
So there's no point in me plugging the live show because it was last night.
But I will tell you this.
Well.
Toby DM'd me saying good luck with our live show.
And I just said,
well done being on Coronation Street. And he said, I'll tell you one thing. The character that I play would definitely have a big book of fannies.
Well, that's comforting.
That is comforting.
Which is nice to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
In these troubled times. Yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. Every casting I go to, I'm just going to think big book of fannies, big book of fannies.
Yeah, yeah. Would this character have a big book of fannies, be working on one, or have a complete one? That's the only...
Absolutely.
I like to think the killer in the film Seven has got a big book of fannies.
100%.
Yeah.
That's probably what happens at the end of Seven, is it? That's what's in the box. It's Ainley's book.
And Compose Matchbox.
Which has got a smaller copy of Ailey's book in it.
Like one of those ones you used to make when you were a kid, when you make tiny books.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. And also, thank you so much for coming to the live show last night.
Yeah, if you did.
Thank you, because lovely to see you all there.
Or if it all goes wrong, where the fuck were you when we did this show?
I was looking out for you and you weren't there.
Yeah.
I was upset. Sorry, I was drunk. like I am now. Thank you for listening, and keep a wheezing and a groaning.
Take care.
We'll be back after this. We're going to talk off air about what episodes we're going to do, because it might be some specials, it might be just some more randoms.
Yay!
But until then, we'll see you soon. I'm off to go and do some rapping.
I'm going to go, tickets please, at my cats until they hurt me.
I'm going to have a rest on the ground, because we've just recorded the wheezing groaning sound.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Copycats, starring Bobby Davro, with Gary Wilmot, Johnny Moore, AJ Harvey, Alan Stewart, Dave Evans, Jessica Martin, and Andrew O'Connor.
My name is Bonnie Langford. Yes, and I love singing, I love lisping, and I love crashing starships. But, you know, above all, I just love dancing. But I had a terrible accident last night. Don't laugh. Yes, I was tap dancing and I fell in the sink.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is called...
It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?